Father, I thank you for this time, God. I thank you that this is a supernatural house and we are supernatural people, God, living a natural experience. We thank you that the supernatural is our normal, God, and that portals of heaven are open over us in this place and in our lives. God, we thank you for what you are speaking, God, that will allow us to capitalize and maximize this moment that we are in, God, and build upon the acceleration that was imparted through our bishop. And so, Father, I thank you that this word will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force, and we fully expect signs, wonders, and miracles to occur in this gathering, when we leave this gathering, and every day of our lives as a result of this word that's coming forth in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we want to steward what was deposited last week by our bishop. And I have the honor of tag teaming with Apostle as we steward and don't just breeze by the moment and say, oh, that was a great message, and then just move on. Because moves of God are meant to be built upon, and they are meant to be transformational, not just for the moment, but for a lifetime. A lot of times people will go from moment to moment, encounter to encounter, as if it's manna. But God has never called us to live in that way. He's called us to live from a place of abundance where each encounter builds upon the previous one, and we go from glory to glory and faith to faith. Say amen to that. And so when I was thinking about what Bishop shared and, you know, talking with Apostle, of course, you heard the phone reach that said we was going to talk about design for dominion, but we put a pause on that, so you can catch that one next time. Today, I'm going to give you five keys to be in alignment with your assignment. Because one of the things that was spoken by Bishop, he read Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. And I'm going to read that very quickly. And I'm going to read it from the King James Version. It says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." Say the anointing. It is the burdens that will be taken off and the yokes destroyed as a result of the anointing. Now, the anointing, as Bishop said, is the great equalizer, but I would also add to that that it is the thing that gives us the advantage. Say advantage. We cannot exercise dominion in the spheres of influence without the anointing. There are a lot of people who are skilled but not anointed. And so God has placed the anointing upon us in order to operate in a place of dominion and have the advantage. Now we see the results of the anointing is burdens being removed and yokes being destroyed, but it says it shall come to pass in that day. This is that day. Say, this is that day. A lot of times when people hear a promise from God and a word from God, they try to push it off into the future and believe for it to happen someday, like a somewhere over the rainbow kind of situation. But this is not what God is talking about. The scripture in Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is. So when you see in that day, then you can pull that out of the realm of the spirit into time and space and make it today. Say today. This is that day. And I believe we are in the day where the words of God will not be delayed any longer. And so in this place of no delay, and I've said this before, there has to be no delay in our response to the no delay in the word. So in that day, now Apostle said he's going to tell you that this is that day and that the breaker anointing is upon us and the ball is in the air. Things are already in motion and we just have to get in position and make sure we are in alignment with the assignment. Because when things are in motion, if we are out of position or out of alignment, then we will miss what God is doing and still be believing him to do what he already is doing. So the success of any plan that involves a team or organization is predicated on each individual on the team knowing their role and what's expected of them. They must not only know it, they must be equipped, ready, and prepared to execute, say execute, their part at the right time for the goal to be achieved. Because Bishop said, we must do it. When he was speaking prophetically about the national, and I would say international anointing, he said, we. Too often we think of apostle doing it because he's sent one and he goes out. Yes, that's part of the assignment. But we collectively, as well as we individually, have a national anointing upon us. Now, this is like a sphere of influence strategy session, so I'm going to tell you. There are three ways you can have national and international reach. Number one is you do it virtually. You get online and you start fulfilling your assignment. Number two, you physically travel and go there and come back. Number three, we set up embassies in other cities and places. Now, I would tell you, in my mind, all three can and should be happening and will be happening. I see a lot of thinking faces. Just let it soak in. That's okay. Because we are called to this city and to this region, but we are called beyond this region. And we have to discern when God is adding or when he's shifting. I was speaking to some business owners earlier in the week, and I was telling them they have to discern a shift, an add-on between a shift. Because a lot of times people say, oh, God has shifted me into this instead of that. And he does do that. He changes assignments. But there are other times when God adds on, and because the assignment now is expanding. Say expanding. We believe in expansion, but we want it to look the way we want it to look versus the way God is showing us. And so all of us on each person of the team has a specific role, and you must know your assignment and get in alignment with it in order to fulfill not only your purpose and destiny, but the purpose and destiny of the house, this house that you have been assigned to. Now, I know I'm speaking specifically to people assigned to this house, but if you are not assigned to this house, think about the place you're assigned. And if you don't have a house you're assigned to, you can join this one, either physically or virtually, flat out. Don't be out there with covering, without no covering. Because a lot of people out there have this perspective of kingdom. I'm fulfilling my assignment. I'm walking in vision. I'm doing all of this, but don't have spiritual covering. They're not planted in anybody's church. They don't have a prophet or a pastor or apostle that's covering them, mentoring them, speaking into their lives. And then they're wondering why it's taking them so long to fulfill purpose and destiny. Where are you out there with no daddy? You out there like an orphan, unwilling to submit, or trying to have this stepdaddy thing where I'm here under this covering, but this person over here is my spiritual father. That doesn't work. And in this prophetic anointing that rests on my life, I'm just kindly and lovingly say, if that's you doing it, stop it. Because in order to be in alignment with your assignment, you have to have each of these components in alignment as well. You can't be partially aligned and think you're going to get the totality of what God has for you or have the impact the way God wants you to have it. So to be in alignment with our assignments, we have to know the gifts that God has placed in us and the calling on our lives. And once we know our gifts, we must allow ourselves to be developed and sharpened in those gifts. Just like any and everything else, development is a process which may involve letting go, laying hold, and evolving. A lot of people are learning gifts but don't want to be developed in those gifts, but I'm telling you, you have to allow yourself to be sharpened and developed. Just because you're gifted doesn't mean there's no room for growth and improvement. That's the purpose of being planted, so you can be equipped to fulfill your assignment. And for those who are wondering, what's my gift? You have to know what your gift is, and you have to rebuke that false sense of confusion that the enemy would try to bring upon you to have you in this paralyzed state. I don't know what my gift is. I don't know what my purpose is. Yes, you do. I'm going to say yes, you do, because you can just look at your life and look at how God has used you, and that will give you an indicator of your gift. And see, people have been deceived about identity, so they get off into all of these different assessments, personality assessments. And, you know, I'm reading this book about strength-based team and building teams based on strengths and strength-based leadership. And I was reading it, and I'm like, this is good information, Jesus. I'm like, man, this is a good book. And then I start thinking, what about gift-based leadership? We are positioned as a body not to operate according just to our strength, but to operate according to our gifts, which is a higher level of operating. A personality test cannot analyze the supernatural gift that's in you. So the first key I just gave you, you have to be aware of the gift God has placed you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware." We have to be aware of his presence and aware of the gifts. Now, at verse 4, it says this. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one," say each one, "everybody is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Now, what happens if somebody is not walking in their gift, their manifestation gift that God has given them? That means somebody assigned to you is not going to get what God has deposited in you. And that means, as a whole, the expression that God has called us to have to demonstrate the kingdom will be missing something. So each gift, every gift is needed. Say, my gift is needed. Your gift is needed. You are an igniter of change. And your gift is needed. So let me give you the second key. You got to know how Holy Spirit operates in as well as through us or through you, and not try to operate like someone else who has a similar gift. You will not produce the results you have been called, destined, and determined and designed to produce when you try to copy someone else's gifting and operate in an anointing that's not yours. To be in the team and function fully in alignment with your assignment, you have to understand how you are to be used. And don't let people, you know, on social media, you see them using their gift and you're like, "Ooh, I want to be like that. Ooh, I want to be like that. Ooh, I want to be like that." God has gifted you to be like you. Instead of watching people, it's time for you to be the one that people are watching. And we must be able to see how the fulfillment of our purposes and destiny play a key role in the fulfillment of the assignment of the house. A lot of times, people, like I was saying earlier, people get so purpose and destiny oriented and they get a misunderstanding of kingdom that they are out on assignment. Yeah, you should be out on assignment, but that assignment is a dual assignment. It's an assignment in the spheres of influence as well as in the house you have been planted. If you are ministering more and using your gifts more in the spheres of influence, well, let me say it this way. If your attention and your focus is more on the spheres of influence, then what happens is you ignore your assignment where you planted. And you still don't fulfill everything God has given you. If you focus so much on where you're planted but ignore the spheres of influence, same thing. You see how the enemy would try to get us to go from one extreme to the next. But the kingdom perspective is all of it is my assignment. More and more I recognize for me personally that all of it is my assignment. Things I teach here, I'm teaching to these business leaders and coaches. I started telling some of these kingdom-focused consultants that they need to learn how to partner with the angelic in their business. And the same thing I taught here, I taught them. I recognize that I can't compartmentalize the assignment and say, oh, this is what I do here and this is what I do here. The kingdom cannot be compartmentalized. And when God joins you to the vision of a house, it's for the purpose of being equipped to fulfill your purposes and destiny, which involves the cultural spheres of influence as well as the place where he has planted you. Now, here's the challenge with that from a leadership perspective, because you all are leaders. Leadership is influencing people to take action. So God has called you to be a leader by nature of being in the body of Christ, because you're the ecclesia, his governing body. You have authority in Christ. So guess what? That leadership position you didn't want, you still got it. The challenging part is when you come into an arena and you see a high-functioning team, and you start thinking, well, where do I fit? It looks like everything is already clicking. And so what happens is people get intimidated and then think they don't fit, and then they try to go somewhere else. But here's the problem with that, because they come and like, God sent me here. And then because they have problems wondering where they fit, they say, God told me to leave. No, he didn't. He's not schizophrenic. He know what he said. So here's the thing. When you step into an environment and you see a high-functioning team, you have to make sure, one, you are thoroughly acquainted with the vision. Part of the reason why people don't fit into the vision is because they haven't been thoroughly acquainted with it and spent time praying over it. It's not enough just to hear the vision and for somebody to talk to you about the vision. You have to take that thing and look, have it documented in front of you and say, God, where's my assignment in this? And spend time praying over that vision and your role in the vision. And then when you do that, you have to ask God, okay, how does the gift and the calling on my life enhance the fulfillment of this vision? Hallelujah. Now, the third key is you must be placed or serve in an area of your calling and gifting, not just your passion. Because sometimes people can have a passion for an area that's not their assignment. You want to be placed and serve in the area of your gifting. David had a desire in 2 Samuel chapter 7. He had a desire to build the temple for God. He had a passion to build it. And Nathan the prophet came and told him, whatever's in your heart to do, do it. And then God told Nathan, like, no. Go back and tell him that he's not the one. So Nathan came back and said, you're not the one. But this is what God will do for you. He will make sure, one, that the Holy Spirit would never be removed from you like what happened with Saul. So you know David was undone then because he witnessed firsthand what happened when Holy Spirit left Saul. He said, you will always have a descendant on the throne. So he said, look, here is your assignment, David. And I want to say leadership assignment. Here is your leadership assignment, David. I know you have the passion to build the temple, but that's not your assignment. That's Solomon's assignment. Your assignment is to get the blueprint of what it's supposed to look like and the materials to be built. Now, you see in 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1, let's read that because I want to show you David's response to that word. He didn't say, oh, man, I wanted to be the one to build the temple. Or he didn't try to build it anyway. He allowed himself to get in alignment with the assignment. And so in 2 Samuel 8, verse 1, it says, now after this, it came about that David defeated the Philistines and subdued them. And David took control of the chief city from the hand of the Philistines. Then verse 2. He defeated Moab and measured them with the line, making them lie down on the ground. And he measured two lines and put to death one full line and kept the other one alive. And the Moabites became servants to David, bringing tribute. Verse 3. Then David defeated Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah. and he went to restore his rule at the river. Verse 4, David captured to him 1,700 horsemen, 20,000 foot soldiers, and David hamstrung the chariot horses, but reserved enough of them for 100 chariots. When the Arameans of Damascus came to help Habzir, king of Zeboah, David killed 22,000 Arameans. Then David put garrisons among the Arameans of Damascus, and the Arameans became servants to David, bringing tribute. And the Lord helped David wherever he went. Now, this is the very next chapter after the end of chapter 7, when he responds to God in worship, saying, yes, you thank you for choosing my descendant with that assignment. So instead of moping about the assignment he wanted to have, he focused on the assignment he did have, and he pursued it with passion. You see, his very next response was to start conquering folks and taking slaves and then taking material. What is the assignment that God has placed on your life, and can you run after him and fulfill it with passion and get in alignment with it? Versus trying to be something or someone else that God has not designed you to be. Or trying to function in a way that God has not gifted you to function. But just saying, this is what I do, and this is who I am, and I'm going to stand in it, in my authority, and in the anointing that God has placed upon my life, so I can see breakthrough happen everywhere I go. The supernatural breakthrough will happen for you when you just get in alignment. Hallelujah. All right, let me give you these next couple things. Individuality, here's your next key, because a lot of people talk about being an individual. I need to preserve my individual identity. Individuality occurs when we operate the way we are uniquely designed. There must be unity of language, agreement with the vision, and agreement with how the vision is executed. You can't say God is leading me and I want to be an individual, but be out of alignment with the vision and the people who you are co-laboring with in this vision. Saying that you're trying to preserve your identity. That is a lie from the trick from the enemy. It is a trick. It is deception. It came from the pit of hell to cause disunity and disagreement. Disagreement means coming out of agreement. The enemy would try to get you to come out of agreement with the vision, the leadership, the head over you spiritually in the name of you being an individual. Or you saying, they don't appreciate my gift. They don't acknowledge my gift. Yeah, we appreciate and acknowledge, but you might have to be assigned to the right place. And just because you served in one area in one particular season don't mean that's where you should be serving in this season when you come to, I'ma just say heirs, when you come here. We might need you over here. When I played football, I played cornerback. I was the dude chasing down the wide receiver and slapping the ball out of his hand. But I wanted to play quarterback because my brother played quarterback. And so I practiced with him. He played for a different team, though. And so I'm thinking, yeah, I want to play quarter. And they say, nah, Jamal, you over there. Then I was like, well, let me do running back. And then I saw them big dudes hitting the running back. So I was like, no, thank you. Y'all not hitting me like that. So just because I could throw the ball well and did it in one season doesn't mean I was supposed to do that same exact thing in the next season. That's not where I was needed. I was needed to stop the dude from catching the ball. So we have to be in agreement with the vision and how the vision is executed. A lot of people would talk about shared leadership, but shared leadership refers to not only sharing in the decision-making, but sharing in the responsibility and accountability of the execution of that decision. It is a myth to say that I can have say-so and do nothing else. I'm going to have say-so and then sit down? No, that's manipulation. And for everybody in leadership, don't let nobody manipulate you. If people won't say so, they need to take part in the responsibility and the accountability. Other than that, you put your idea in the suggestion box. unless your assignment is to be the strategist, which is different because that's a specific role on the team. All right, so I gave you five. Let me give you one extra because it's time for me to go. Faith is the posture that causes us to stay in alignment with the assignment. As you are walking out your assignment, you have to have the posture of faith in order to stay there. Because the assignment doesn't always look pretty. It doesn't always look like how we want it to look. Because God doesn't reveal the process until we are in the process. He tells us the end from the beginning, so we know what it's going to look like in the end. But he ain't tell us this other part in the middle. So when you are in the middle, you have to keep that posture of faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And let me give you three, let me tell you three more things, three things. I got 20 seconds, and I'm going to give you three things real quick that God reminded me to tell you that wasn't initially part of my notes. There are three types of people that you need to be around you as you are in alignment with your assignment. Well, actually four. One is a mentor. And in this house, that mentor is apostle. You need to allow the mentor to speak into your life, to correct you when needed, and to be able to have say-so into what you're doing. That mentor will keep you in alignment. The second thing is what I call a next-level guide. Those are teachers. Those are the additional people who would teach and help you grow and develop in your gifts. And you have to be submitted to learning and not committed to holding on to how you used to do things. The third is your dream team of peers. Those are the people you are serving with who are your peers that you are building community with. And then, of course, the fourth is the people you are influencing. Those are the four types of people that you need as you are walking out your assignment. And they will help you stay in alignment. And the key is not to mix up the roles of those different kind of people. You can't try to look at a peer as all of a sudden your mentor. You can't try to put a teacher in the place of your mentor because then you will stop seeing your mentor, your spiritual head, your apostle in the light he's supposed to see him in, and then you won't receive. Scripture says when you view a prophet, when you see a prophet as a prophet, you get what? The prophet's reward. Now, if he said that about a prophet, it applies to the apostle and to every other fivefold ministry gift. Glory to God. Amen. I'm done.